It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 8. We're going to read from the 16th verse. Let's go to 15. Verse 15, Genesis 8, 15, down through the end of the chapter, verse 22. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Our address, if you would like to write to us, is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit us on our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, read along with me, as we read Genesis chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Let's begin with prayer after reading the precious word. Father, we thank you that we can come and study this, your word, together, and please that you will touch our hearts with it. It is so important, Lord, that we spend time with you. We do not just read the Word of God, but we study it. We search it and search your way and will. It's important that we see with these verses of Scripture you, Lord Jesus, because you are the purpose of this book, that we may know you, we may walk with you. And the only way we can walk with you is if we walk in line with you. And so please, Lord, give us your way and will as we study all the way back to the beginning of your book, the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter. Help us to understand and see you clearly and grow. Now I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been through these verses of Scripture, and we're going to get Noah out of the ark, and we've read through these Scriptures several times, but I want to take just a look and help us to see, you know, one thing that it seems like that we lack today, and that's patience. And I want to show you just quickly, and then we'll move on to the rest of the chapter here, but I want to show you quickly the patience that Noah held. We heard of the patience of Job, but let's look at the patience of Noah. We find that when the ark rested, and as we look through these verses of Scripture, we find that in verse 4. And you think, Larry, we've been here a dozen times, probably. If you'll have been a part of this study long enough, you'll understand that I do repeat many things, but there's a purpose that we learn God's Word. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And so as we look at this time, we find that this ark rests upon Mount Ararat. Noah waits. He waits 40 days. And after 40 days, he sends out a raven. Now, many believe, as we study through this, and we've went kind of both directions, that the raven was sent out first, and 7 days later, a dove was sent out, and then repeated that process. And we're going to look at this Scripture in that manner. If you believe they sent the raven and the dove out the same time, not a problem. but this is the way I'm going to present it today. Noah waited this 40 days after the ark stopped moving in the waters. It rested, it caught on Mount Ararat. And so here we find it setting there. And Noah waited 40 days. After 40 days, he was given direction from the Lord to send out a raven. We know the raven did not return. We've talked about that. Noah waited then 7 more days, and he sent out a dove. The dove returned. We've talked about that. Noah waited another 7 days. He sent the dove out again. This time he returned, but he returned with an olive leaf in his mouth, an olive branch. And so then he, once again, we have waited now 40 days from the time it set, it rested upon Mount Ararat. Then he waited another 7 days after he sent the raven and waited 7 days. He sent the dove and waited 7 days. The dove returned. Now he sent the dove a second time. The dove returned another 7 days. He sends the dove out again a third time. This third time the dove does not return. And we have another 29 days. And after that 29 days, then Noah, by the direction of the Lord, removes the covering and could see that there is no water and it's dry land. And then he waits 56 days. What patience. He waits 56 days. He waits to the second month, the 27th day. God opens the door and says, "Come forth." Now look once again to this. Look at the patience. Noah had had been in the ark just a little over a year. A little over a year. And when that ark finally comes to rest, it stops that moving motion. Oh, you would think, I would. Now, I want out. It's time to get out. Noah listened to the Lord. One thing that we really lack today, man has always been lacking, but today it has become worse each day, each year, is patience. Today, my generation has little patience, but the generation that's younger than I am has less patience than I do, and I'm afraid the generation below that will have less patience than that. Look at this. After it rested, he waited 40 days. He sent out the raven. 7 days later, he sent out the dove. 7 days later, he sent out the dove. 7 days later, he sent out the dove. Now, it's 29 days when that dove did not return. And he opens up and uncovers and sees that there is no water and there's dry land. And from that time, there was 56 days. Coming to 2 months, 27 days, the year 601 of Noah's life, that God opens the door and says, "Go forth." Look at the patience. Noah waited with the raven. He waited when it rested. He waited with the raven. He waited with the dove. He waited with the dove. He waited with the dove. And he waited after he removed the covering and saw no water and no dry land, because God did not open the door. What patience Noah has. Let's learn from Noah. Let's be patient, and let's follow after the Lord. Now, we have several things here that I'd like for you to see. Judgment's over, and we've just taken a quick look at the patience of Noah, something that you just don't ever hear. We should know him that he was a patient man by the years that he spent building the ark and patiently working towards what God had set before him to do. And so we are aware that Noah is a very patient man, and God was able to use Noah. Please that we be the same way. We have some scripture verses here to look up. They're all in the Old Testament. And we're going to begin with Psalms 104 and the verses from 105 through 109. Psalms 104, verse 5. And just listen to this. You wonder who's in control. It said, "Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up, by the mountains, and they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast found for them. Thou hast set a bound on them that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Look at that as a summary to the flood. I love that. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. But at thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. I love God's word. I love looking at references. That's a sweet psalm that we can read there. Let's look to Psalms 33. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 8. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Oh, that we look at these verses of Scripture, we see them clearly. It's a joy to look to the Word of God. It's a joy to read the Word of God and look at the power of God and the strength of God. Now let's go to Isaiah 50, verse 5. Isaiah 50. I love these Old Testament verses of Scripture. If you've never really studied the Old Testament, if you don't believe it's necessary, you're really missing the blessing. Look at verse 2, Isaiah 50, verse 2. Wherefore when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. God is in control. God is totally in control. We've talked about all the animals that died through this judgment, all the beasts and the fowl of the air and everything. But we talked also just a little bit about the fish. But you know, the fish survived somewhat the thrust of the water coming in. I think there was much life. The fish died through that. But when the water receded, you've watched a flood. And you don't have to drive through the area too close that you can smell the dead fish as that water left. And it's the same way here. And so much of the fish population died as well. They didn't survive this judgment. They faced it just like everyone else did. Let's go to Nahum. Nahum 5:1. Can you find Nahum? Let's look through this precious scripture. Nahum, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So if you can find Matthew, why work your way back and you'll find it. And so we find Nahum, chapter 1, verse 5. The mountains quake at him, the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. This judgment was given by the hand of God. It was started at the command of God, and it was finished at the command of God. God closed the door when Noah entered in because Noah listened to the word of the Lord. Noah was patient and did not leave the ark until God opened the door and said, go forth. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Verse 16. And as we've talked about, it says, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. What a beautiful promise is given here. All this judgment that has taken place, it's finally over. A year and a few days, and finally they've come back to place their feet upon the ground, upon the land. The flood, the waters were up, and then the flood waters went down. Do you realize between the waters raising up and the waters receding, what effect that had upon the earth? With all this pressure, this given pressure upon the removal of this water, when it began to recede, I believe that the earth went through many very difficult times, very critical times of earthquakes, of volcanoes, and when you would have such an effect as things of that, you'll find that it would create great tidal waves that would do such a change to what we see today. What we see today is the result of it. But before, I believe that the hills weren't so high and the seas weren't so deep. But I think when this water began to recede, we have, as we know it today, the Grand Canyon and Pikes Peak. We have those things at the two different sides, two different levels. Do you realize that they say today, and it's beyond me how they can have this kind of information, but with the wisdom today of man, they say that if the earth was level, if it was completely level all the way around, it was just a perfect ball, no low places, no high places, that there would be nearly 2 miles the water from the oceans, from the seas, the water would be almost 2 miles deep circling the earth. Now, can you imagine that? That the water would cover the earth completely if it was level. And so you wonder, is there enough water for this flood? What was the distance from the peak upward? It tells us 15 cubits. When it stopped raining and it started to settle, there was 15 cubits of water above the highest peak, the highest place, as water circled the whole earth. When this water began to recede and the earth almost went into convulsions of its actions, and with earthquakes and volcanoes and all this different pressure that we know exists in the center of the earth, and as this water began to come off of the earth because of all this water, and we know that something came from that, and that we went into the ice age. Now, a lot of people have problems trying to keep all this in perspective with a world that is only, the earth only being, the universe only being 6,000 years old. But it can all come together if you will just look at what the destruction and the tremendous actions, the things that went on during the flood and the receding of this water. All things that they say take millions of years to develop were developed in a very short period of time. And it's all because of the flood. We know that the old civilization was completely wiped away. The flood took the animals, took the man, took all of the buildings, the roads, the monuments, the things that they worshipped. Everything was eliminated. Everything was totally destroyed by the pressures of this water in the process of raining from above. The earth opened up and the water gushed forth. So it came from below the ground, it came from above the ground, from the heavens, and it came with such force that within this period of 40 days of this reign, and as we, you know, we know when it speaks of this being 15 cubits above, and I believe that to be in the 7th chapter, verses 19 and 20, the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died. We've studied that. We've looked at what has happened. But I need you to see that it also did a work of changing the whole earth. The culture, everything, the civilization as they presented it was completely gone. Everything started new with Noah. And we need to see that. Look at the actions that were taking place here. The rivers and the valleys all changed during this time of the rain coming and the water receding. We have seashells on the top of mountains. We have animal and human remains all the way from the top of the mountains to being found 100 feet deep in solid rock. Now, how can that be? It can be because of the pressure that took place during the flood and what happened to the earth as this water began to recede and the earth started its motions of great turbulence with earthquakes and volcanoes. And I believe that all that was a part of those first few years even after the flood, because I think there was much of this earth has totally changed after that judgment was presented, the judgment was finished, but many of these things continued to come. We have coal, and they say it takes so many thousands or millions of years to produce coal. Well, we find that these great forests that covered the earth, as this earth would begin to move with all the mud and the water and everything, it compressed this forest into the center of this soil, and it was with such force that it's produced the coal. And this all comes by the receding of the water and these earthquakes and these volcanoes. Again, as a result of all this, we find the ice age. All this water with the cold, it produced so much snow per year and had just a little window of almost a few days per year that it didn't snow in certain areas. We have mountains so high, we have oceans so deep. And we need to understand that all we have today came about when the waters came upon the earth and receded. And this old earth is only approximately 6,000 years old. It's 2,000 years back to the birth of Christ and 4,000 years back to the creation of the world. All that we see, so many of the things that we have today that the scientists and different folks say take thousands and millions of years to develop, came overnight almost with the change of this earth, with the coming on of the water and the receding of the water. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture in Psalms again, and then we're going to look back to Isaiah. And we have Psalm 46. Psalm 46, we'll look at verse 1 through verse 3. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be moved, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And then it closes with Selah. Look at Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64, verse 3. Isaiah, I went by it. Isaiah 64, verse 3. I knew when I'd gotten to Ezekiel that I was too far. Isaiah 64, verse 3. When thou dost terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. You question how this judgment come to pass? God used this water to produce, again, Pikes Peak and Grand Canyon all at the same time when this water receded. We look now, the water is gone, judgment is over, and we have a beautiful picture here in the 20th verse of chapter 8. Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings upon the altar. If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, we find that Abel, too, brought an offering similar to this. We believe it probably to be a lamb, but he brought that offering unto the Lord, and it presented and spoke of the Lamb of God that would come and die for the sins of the world. Abel did it. That's the reason it had to be an animal with the blood. Noah, upon judgment being finished, starts anew, and the first thing that he does, he builds an altar, and he brings these sacrifices. If you remember, the clean animals that he had to take on, not two by two, but by sevens, because you see, he needed those animals to come and offer those, and again, showing this Lamb of God that would come and save the world. You know, today we have the Lord's Supper, and we look back to the cross of Calvary, to when Jesus Christ died on the cross. Well, it's not much different when they would bring, when Abel, when Noah would bring these offerings and these sacrifices. It was for them to see and to remember what was to come, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so important that we see this judgment. This judgment that took place, and it lasted for a little over a year. Noah patiently waited. He patiently waited. And as the steps were taken, as God instructed him, one step and the next step and the next step, and even after he had an opportunity to see that the land was dry, God says, not yet. What was going on with the earth, we don't know. But we know that it was not safe for Noah to come and to enter in until the Lord knew, now it's time. And the door was opened, and Noah was told of the Lord to go forth in the 16th verse. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. And then we find once again every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds went forth out of the ark. God kept every one of them. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground. Now we're going to finish up those last two verses, and it won't take too long, but I wanted to take enough time for you to see the patience of Noah. And we love going through these verses of Scripture, Psalms 103, verses 8 through 17. We didn't get that far yet, did we? I'm sorry. We looked at and spoke of Genesis chapter 4:4. That's another cross-reference we're going to get to next time. And we're looking at 2 Peter 3:6, how that the civilization was totally destroyed. We spoke of and referred to that reference. Psalms 46:1-3, Isaiah 64:3. Many times when I look through God's Word, Psalms 33:6-8, Isaiah 50:2, Nahum 1:5, We love studying God's Word. But I want you to see, the important thing is, what are you going to do about Jesus?